Well, Epiphany tide, this season between Christmas and Lent that we are currently in, you might notice a pattern in the readings. Epiphany, the word itself, means sort of like revelation, manifestation, appearance. And so a lot of our gospel readings during this season are about the different ways that Christ is made known in the world, that he is revealed to the world. So last week we read about the baptism of Jesus, and as he's coming up out of the water, the dove, the Spirit descends like a dove. We hear a voice from heaven acclaiming, "This is my beloved Son." In a few weeks, we'll read the story of the Transfiguration, where Jesus is, his glory is kind of unveiled on the holy mountain with a few of his disciples. So Epiphany being the season in which Christ is revealed in various ways. But our readings this morning kind of turn that notion of Christ being revealed, kind of turns it on its head. In Nathanael's interaction with Jesus that we just read about, as Nathanael comes to a realization about Christ, about who Christ is, he also comes to a realization of how much Christ sees him, how revealed Nathanael is before Christ. And this is really the nature of Christ's being revealed in the world. Not only does the world see him, but he shines his light on all who come into contact with him. In Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he talks about this. He talks about how the light has come into the world, and the light exposes, sometimes in uncomfortable ways, who we really are. But the message of the gospel is, in many ways, that our willingness to stand in the light of Christ's presence, even in our fear and unworthiness, is actually where our life is found. And this sort of exposed state before God and all its tenderness and beauty and scariness is really beautifully and powerfully articulated in Psalm 139, which we also read from. "Lord, you have searched me out and known me," the psalmist writes. "You know my sitting down and my rising up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You trace my journeys and my resting places and are acquainted with all my ways. Indeed, there is not a word on my lips, but you, O Lord, know it altogether. You press upon me behind and before and lay your hand upon me." Psalm 139 in the last few years has become really one of my favorite psalms, deeply, deeply nourishing to me in my own spirit. But this wasn't always the case. I am not, my sort of personality disposition is not one that's given to much sentimentality, if you will. And I used to think of this psalm as kind of just like mushy and self-indulgent, with all this talk about being knit together in your mother's womb and being marvelously made. It's like the stuff that Hallmark cards are made of, you know? It's like, meh. But as I began to really do some work in myself and really confronting some areas of deep shame in my life, this psalm began to take on a whole new resonance. Suddenly, it became not trite and cute that God knows the words on my lips before I speak them. It became actually sometimes distressing and disturbing. Now, there's definitely a deep comfort in resting in the truth of Psalm 139, of knowing that God is closer to us than we are to ourselves, that we are never alone. But as we confront or are confronted by the brokenness and the shame, the fear that resides in all of us to one degree or another, it can feel a bit challenging to reckon with this truth that God sees and knows even these parts of us. But I have found that also, if we can reckon with this, if we can bring these uncomfortable parts of ourselves into the light of God's presence, that there is an even deeper comfort and rest waiting for us. And it is in this tender, vulnerable, exposed state before God where we find our healing and wholeness, where we are transformed by the light of His presence. The psalmist proclaims, "If I say, surely the darkness will cover me and the light around me turn to night, darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light to you are both alike." And this is an incredible promise, but it's one that is not easily received sometimes, at least not for me. As uncomfortable as it is for me to acknowledge, my deepest darkness is not dark to God. It is as bright as the day. And I realize in kind of pressing on this sort of way that we're exposed before God, I realize that this truth about God's knowledge of us has been used to shame many folks, to sort of put God up as a sort of Santa-like, morally judging, peeping Tom God who is always watching and knows if you've been bad or good. So be good, for goodness sake. But there is another side to reckoning with God's intimate knowledge of us. See, even when we don't have the wherewithal or the courage or the gumption to confront these dark places within us, God is still there, patient, faithful, loving. He sees and knows all of who we are. He sees into the depths of the divine image that we all indelibly bear. He sees and knows us in our pain, in our brokenness, in the ways that we mar that divine image by selfishness and sin and fear. God sees and knows all of it, and He remains. Those things we try so hard to run away from within ourselves, God is not surprised by them. And those times we feel most alone, He is indeed closer than our very breath. He is always there, pursuing us with His love, sustaining us in His grace. And as we ever more open up to the presence of this one who is always present with us, all of those disparate parts of our lives slowly by slowly become integrated again, knit back together in this one who knit us together in our mother's womb. It's a beautiful psalm to meditate on, and I actually might encourage you to sit with Psalm 139 this week. Maybe make this a daily practice to read it every morning or before you go to bed every night. Read and meditate on these words. Let them be comforting to you. And let them also be disturbing to you. Use this psalm as a prayer inviting God into those places in your heart that you've been reluctant or afraid to bring before Him. Bring your doubts before God. Bring your sin. Bring your shame and your fear. Bring it all, because He knows it. He's not surprised, and He is not shaming you. Rather, He is lovingly beckoning you into the light of His presence. This one who knit you together in your mother's womb, as He traces your journeys and your resting places, His right hand is always holding you fast. And he is knitting you back together as only the one who made you is able to do. And thanks be to God.